This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Once again, we're joined by Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade. She's also been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years, engaging in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations, as well as continues to see a small caseload of individual and couples clients through telemental health services. Her large catalog of articles for the Huffington Post and EverydayPower.com can be seen in the show notes from her work as a contributor for both publications. And today's topic and focus is treating individuals with dignity and kindness in potential romantic sexual encounters when they disclose vulnerable information to you, and certainly something that's not talked about enough. And we're looking forward to hearing the details. And Dr. Martinez, thanks once again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're certainly more than welcome. Good to have you back on with us, and certainly a topic that's probably not talked about too often. So to get it underway here today, you note that how and when to tell a potential romantic or sexual partner is a semi-frequent topic that comes up in your work more than I would have thought. So can you talk a little bit about that to kick things off today?
It does come up a lot, and that's why I wanted to talk about it, because, and as you noted, it doesn't get talked about nearly enough. And I think for obvious reasons, people are hesitant to talk about it. It's uncomfortable to talk about, and that's why I wanted to. Individuals have a wide range of feelings about when, where, how, and whom to talk about and when to disclose it. And that's why it comes up so much in my work. And so they wonder, do they tell somebody immediately so they have a choice whether to go out with them at all? Do they disclose it to someone if it looks like things are going to take a more serious and sexual in nature turn between the two of them? Really, the general consensus is that as long as they're disclosing to someone before they're right about to engage in an act, pretty much, and there's going to be an awkward and extremely uncomfortable situation, then that's acceptable. The person, one who's disclosing the information, my advice to them is try to be patient, understanding that someone's initial reaction in realizing that they're getting this new and unexpected information is often people's not their proudest, not their final reaction that they're going to have. They just need a bit of time to take in what they've just heard and do some research for themselves and on their own, and so that they can make fully informed decisions. But that doesn't mean that it's ever acceptable also for the person who is getting that information to shame, condemn, humiliate, or berate the person who's being really transparent and vulnerable to them. It's taken a lot of courage for them to put themselves in this position and tell the person, and they're feeling really insecure and unsteady. And you should handle them with care and trust and protectiveness. And the reason that they're giving you this necessary information about themselves is so that the person can be completely comfortable and educated and make a decision that they feel comfortable with, and they've respected you enough, and they care more about your well-being and your health and your concern than they do about their own privacy, and their diagnosis, so that you can be comfortable about whether you're going to move forward with things or not.
Now, you also noted that the percentage of people with some of the most common STDs and which STDs are currently the most prominent might surprise our listeners. So if you would, tell us about some of the current stats in these regards.
Yes. Well, the current rate of, and this tends to fluctuate by every 5 to 10 years, this changes, but America's youth shoulders the most substantial rate of the increasing rates, and that tends to fluctuate, and we see that cycle happen right now. About four, and it goes back and forth between whether they call them STIs or STDs. It's whether it's sexually transmitted diseases or infections. About 46% of the STIs right now are between 15 to 24 year olds. One in five people in the U.S. have an STI right now, which probably is a shocking statistic to hear. From 2018 to 2020. There were 68 million infections, and there were 26 million new infections. The highest ranking one was HPV, human papillomavirus. There were 42.5 million existing and 13 million new. HSV2, which is the herpes simplex virus, which is the genital herpes, there was 18.6 million existing and 572,000 new. The third one is, trichomoniasis. That is a vaginal infection that's very common, and it's actually on the rise significantly. There were 2.6 million existing, and there's 6.9 million new infections. In fourth place is chlamydia. 2.4 million were existing, 4 million new. I know that this statistic for number five, gonorrhea, is actually out of date. There were 209,000 infections between 2018 and 2020, with 1.6 million, which is still a huge increase, but it is actually one of the fastest growing STDs. And I think it has actually risen up where it's maybe number two or number three now. And then HIV, there were 984,000 cases with 32,600 new cases. And then in last place was syphilis, with about even existing in new cases, with 156,000 existing, 146,000 new cases.
Wow, that is a lot of folks with STDs, a lot of folks. Thanks for sharing some of the stats there. Unfortunately, these are the stats that they are, the facts here. Now, you discussed how far things have come in terms of access, privacy, and speed of results for individuals. While I know you are not promoting any services specifically or brands, do you have any examples listeners could investigate?
Yes, and we actually are linking a bunch of resources in the show notes for all of these. There's an excellent article in the show notes by Healthline that actually did a comparison of all the different services that people can do them at home, so that they can just see what the different services provide, but just so that they can look at them, there are services, and I'll go over a few of them. STDcheck.com, letsgetchecked.com, everlywell.com, STDwatch, mylabbox.com, and checkmybodyhealth.com. Again, they have the comparisons. The test kits you can take home. There's a little lancet where you prick your finger. You've had this done at the doctor, surely, and you just put a little blood on a little test kit. They also have, through these companies, you can do, you can test for other things, allergies, thyroid, cholesterol, all sorts of other tests as well. You put them in a box, you either mail them off or drop them at a local clinic, and you can typically track your results either online. You can also, they've come so far, you can get the results sometimes in 48 hours to a week at the most. They have, whether you want to do it with your insurance or outside of your insurance, some of the companies have telemental health visits, depending on what your results are, where they can do it again within or without your insurance network. Of course, by state law, if someone does have an STD, there are mandated reporting so that they can have a discussion with any partners, but they can also, through this, have a telemental health service for you so they can get you any prescriptions and any needed treatment. I will tell people, since they have things such as allergy, thyroid, just a word to the wise, read all the instructions before you go ahead and do the test. The little lancets, I have a problem with needles and testing, and I just went ahead and didn't read all the instructions and just went ahead and did it. And I read the instruction about if you warm your finger, it helps to take the blood. And so I thought, warm, oh, there's a light bulb, I can warm my finger. I put my finger on a light bulb and didn't read that the next sentence was under warm water. So I used the lancet, and I had plenty of blood for my test card, whatever. And then the next instruction was to leave it out, the card out for 30 minutes. I didn't do that either. I put the card away. So read the instructions if you're going to do it before doing it. It all worked out. I didn't need the other three lancets or any of the samples. I had plenty, but read through them before you do it. I am a poor example for the kits, but they are very easy for most people. And again, all the instructions are in the notes. And they have a lot of other services too for everybody.
Certainly helpful resources there. Thanks for that. We're speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and also has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years. She engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations and offers individuals and couples consulting via telemental health services. And she's joined us once again here on eHealth Radio's Health News and STD channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, you also note that while individuals must make decisions they are comfortable with, they should make educated decisions, and that there are some sites which we'll include in the show notes here that you think do a really nice job of explaining things in a way that the reader can understand and answer most questions they could think of. What are some of the ones that come to mind for you?
Absolutely. There are, in the show notes, we linked what people would generally think of. There is John Hopkins, CDC, Mayo Clinic, but there's also some sites that are, while you wouldn't traditionally think of them, we've linked HIMSS.com. There's actually HERS.com, which is not linked, but it's the partner site of HIMSS. But they explain things in just everyday language that you can understand about all of the different different types of STDs, ways that you can have as safe of sex as possible, whether it's like regular intercourse, oral sex, what people need to do, the different ways that they can protect themselves, what type of protection they can get, the percentage of possibility of transmission for any of them. It explains like all the different variants, and it really is so personable, and it breaks down any misnomers and any misinformation. And I just found the way that they were written just so approachable. And so that's why I included them in the notes.
And once again, Dr. Martinez, thanks for the resources you've made available. Now, as we conclude, and when it comes to this topic, what would you like listeners to walk away remembering here today?
I just really want them to remember that hearing what we've talked about and the rates that are present in the country, and while these percentages are shocking, take HPV, for example, for women. By the time women are between the ages of 60 to 80, that actual age and percentage is about the rate at which women will have HPV. As we noted, 1 in 5 individuals in this country has an STD or an STI at this time. We each know someone who have them. And so think about how you would want someone to treat someone close to you with this information. You would want them to treat them with dignity and respect. You can educate yourself and you can make fully informed decisions. No one is saying that you have to proceed with something, but all that we're asking and saying is that the person on the other end of this conversation is treating you. They care about you enough to present you with this information. They have feelings for you, and they care so much about you that they are willing to put their feelings aside and present you with this information so that you can make that choice. Treat them with the same dignity and care and compassion that they are to you. And that's really the whole point of this.
Certainly a good place to conclude here today. Dr. Martinez, again, we thank you for what you do and for joining us once again. Where can listeners get more information on yourself as well as tap into your services and further resources?
They can reach me at drnikkimartinez.com. That's DrNikkiMartinez. They can also reach me at my LinkedIn. It's just at LinkedIn, Nikki-Martinez, Martinez. And I'd love if they would check out either myself or any of the other authors at everydaypower.com.
And of course, listeners, as always, you can find all links within the show notes of this particular broadcast. Dr. Martinez, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who has been working as an independent medical expert to assist the courts for the past decade and also has been an adjunct professor for nearly 14 years. She engages in domestic and international consulting for various individuals, groups, and organizations and offers individual and couples consulting via telemental health services. And for all the details, simply visit drnikkimartinez.com. ehealthradionetwork.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthradionetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.